Good morning.
This too is a day the Lord has made. We have reason to rejoice and be glad in it. God be praised for that. The focus for today has a Reformation theme running through it. That is, putting the emphasis on what God clearly says is the way of salvation. By grace through faith. And not in view of faith or by works. God help us not lose sight of this emphasis or lose an appreciation of this way of salvation. And we're reminded today then of how we cannot lose sight or appreciation of this clear way of our salvation by grace through faith. May we not lose it as an individual. May we not lose it as a church in our mission. With that in mind, we turn our attention to the invocation on page 3 of the service bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. What does God tell us about ourselves in His holy word?
He says that we are sinners and deserve only His punishment.
When we realize that we have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should we do?
Those who do remember, as well as those who wish we are unaware, we pray
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to work in your kingdom and leave no one standing idle. Help us to order our lives by your wisdom and to serve you in willing obedience. Reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Jonah. As we hear these words, familiar to many of us, if not all of us, again, the question to ask ourselves, in what ways are we like Jonah in his attitude? What, though, does God want for all people is the more important question we want to keep in mind. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said. I am so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord. We join in our psalm of the day, Psalm 103. We'll sing it as noted there. The choir will sing the refrain through once. We'll sing it a second time and join on the remaining refrains.
Thank you.
Can the way of salvation be stated any clearer than this? A reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 9. God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet, before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by faith, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for our gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus makes it clear that the kingdom of God is not about who is who or who is doing what. Each and every one of us needs grace equally, and by God's grace, we have it. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
We continue with the hymn of the day. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father and the work of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus this morning. Turning back to these words from Romans 9, yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand. Not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who out of great love for people like you and me, was willing to give of himself so that we could be with him for all eternity. What a gift. In light of that gift, what attitudes can impact an individual, you, a society, even a church, in a negative way? Apathy, indifference, self-righteousness, entitlement, thanklessness, and there's others that we could come up with. Attitudes which can harm us as an individual and as well as a society and a church. But nothing really new under the sun, right? I mean, the prophet Moses had to deal with such attitudes in Old Testament times. The apostle Paul had to deal with such attitudes in the early days of the New Testament. And we're still dealing with it. The it being those attitudes which harm us as an individual as well as a gathering of a body of believers. What's the solution? Well, the Lord reminds us of it. And so we pray that God keep us from falling into the trap of such attitudes. And one way to keep from falling into those traps, the traps of those attitudes, is by being thankful. And on a day like today, especially thankful for the mercy that God shows to us in our lives. Why? Because it should not be expected. And since it should not be expected, but we have it, God help us live a life of appreciation for it. The Apostle Paul, writing to fellow Jews who were struggling with self-righteousness and even had become apathetic and indifferent to the message of the gospel. He's writing to them and as a way to wake them up from their spiritual slumber and apathy and indifference and self-righteousness and entitlement. All the attitudes fit with them that were harming them. I mean, early on in chapter 1 already of Romans, the theme, the Apostle Paul sets the tone by saying, you know, we're not ashamed of the gospel because, and he goes on to say why. And then he says, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The Jews have had the gospel message from the get-go. And Paul outlines how so through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They had it, but they became indifferent to it. In a sense, they had that attitude of entitlement. Oh, it'll always be there for us. But with that attitude of indifference and entitlement and thanklessness, what happened? They lost it through their unbelief. Because instead of staying focused on the grace of God and the fact that he had chosen them to be his special people, but not only them for salvation, but to be the people through whom the line of the Savior would come, they turned into a religion of work righteousness. And so Paul makes the point, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, fellow Jews, it does not depend on your effort. It never has. Nor does it depend on your bloodline. Just because you have Abraham's blood pumping through your veins does not mean you're an automatic shoe-in for heaven. And just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you have special rank over those who are Gentiles. Jonah struggled with showing compassion to people who were not like him. And when the Lord showed compassion to them, what was Jonah's reaction? Ugh! God, I knew you were going to save those people. Isn't that what it's really all about? I mean, what if God took that attitude toward you and followed Jonah's example? Ah, I'm not going to save you people. Because what makes you and me any more worthy of God's grace and mercy than a Jew of old or a Gentile of old? What makes you and me any more worthy of the gospel than the Ninevites? Are we entitled? Not at all. Because we display attitudes of entitlement and self-righteousness and thanklessness and apathy and indifference from time to time. We are not deserving truly of God's mercy. So let us be thankful for it. And if we think, well, I'm a pretty good person, James reminds us, whoever commits sin, just one sin, even in your thought, you are guilty of breaking all of God's law and so worthy of eternal separation from God. We need to hear the law, as harsh as it can come at times, in order to appreciate what God really has done for us in mercy. I mean, the Ninevites needed to be called to repentance, and God called them to repentance, and they came to appreciate the God who showed mercy to them. And who knows how that all then trickled through the Ninevites the generations after. And how many people were saved, even though Jonah went in reluctance to preach the message of law and gospel, it had an impact all the way to us. Thank God for his mercy. It should not be expected. The Lord makes that clear by reminding through the Apostle Paul that he made the promise. And he took steps to keep that promise. I mean, there were attempts to get around the promise. I mean, with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. And God said, not that way. Hold on. My way. And aren't we kind of that way still with God? Well, God, you know, you're kind of taking your sweet time. Maybe I'll get involved and help you out a little bit. And thankfully, God takes up our messed up schemes and still makes them work out for our good and his good. But do we learn our lessons? Well, the Israelites still didn't learn their lessons very well. And so to make it even clearer that it's not by what we do, and it's not by entitlement, he says the older will serve the younger. When it came to Esau and Jacob. I mean, Esau's the one who should have had the birthright and the one who should have inherited and so forth and been the line of the Savior. But no, the Lord said it's going to be Jacob. Even before they were conceived, the Lord had this all figured out. Because he knows who's going to reject him and spurn his promises. And so Esau wasn't entitled just because he was the older. It went to Jacob. Jacob definitely wasn't deserving of it. And he proved that as he grew older, that he was not deserving of being the one to carry on the promise of the line of the Savior. And so it doesn't depend on man's effort or desire, but purely on God's mercy. Which then begs the question, why Jacob? Why you? Don't waste time trying to figure that out. Just be thankful for his mercy in your life. Some will then take it to another step and say, well, if I'm chosen to be saved, then who did God choose to condemn? No one. God wants all people to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. There's not a double election mentioned here, only one, to salvation. Now, can we reject God's gift of salvation? You bet. And people do it all the time through apathy, indifference, entitlement, self-righteousness, and thanklessness. Thus, the reminder to always be thankful for the mercy of God in our life and to recognize the attitudes that can get the best of us and toss that salvation aside. Which then leads to living a life of appreciation for this mercy in our life that should not be expected. As we show a life of appreciation, remember too that God doesn't just hate the sin, he hates the sinner. The sinner is not able to stand in his sight. But by the mercy of God, we who were sinners and still are able to stand in his sight now because of that kept promise of sending his son Jesus to be our Savior. And through his perfect life and his innocent death, we now are able to stand before God on this side of heaven and for all eternity. So give thanks for that mercy which should not be expected but was given to us and clearly shown in Jesus. And thus, through Jesus and what he did for us, we can live a life of appreciation. So again, what is that to look like? As we work on answering that question, keep in mind, again, the problem is not with the Word of God. The problem is not with God himself. The problem is with human beings who stand opposed to God by nature, but through the gift of God's grace and faith are able now to stand with God. So as we realize where we had been and now see where we are, let us give thanks to God for his mercy by living a life of appreciation. So again, what is that life of appreciation to look like? Well, if the problem is not with the word, what are we to do with that word? This is where the double G impact comes in. What's the double G impact? Grace and guide. By the grace of God, we are able to look at God's word as the guide for our life. And what does God's word as the guide for our life say? In a nutshell, love God and your neighbor. Don't be a Jonah. Love your neighbor so much that you pray for that neighbor's salvation. That somehow, either through you or through someone else, they may come to hear the message of law and gospel, repent of their sins, and confess Jesus to be their Savior. So a life of appreciation looks like this. Praying for and witnessing, as we have opportunity, the message of God's law and gospel with the goal that people will come to confess Jesus as their Savior. Now, we can witness individually, and we can witness collectively. We can witness door-to-door, we can witness by text, by email, whatever means possible. And not just witness them, but continue to encourage the seeds that have been planted, to stay focused on God's mercy, so we don't lose sight of it, because too often that can happen, right? That seed gets fed and it grows, but then if it's not continually fed Instead of growing, it falls away. So the importance for us to not only witness to get it started, but also to encourage to keep it going. What else does a life of appreciation look like? Well, how are we living our life? Do we live our lives, as you take a look in the mirror of God's word, are we living our life in a way that shows appreciation for God's mercy in our life? Are we being merciful to our family member, our neighbor, our friend? Is there room for improvement when it comes to taking a step back and showing a compassion and kindness? A life of appreciation isn't what is it in it for me, but rather what is in it for the other person. Isn't that what joy is all about? Living for Jesus, others, yourself? When is it when we're not feeling the most joy? It's when we're being self-serving and we're not supposedly meeting our own needs. We feel discontent and then we become apathetic and indifferent and entitled, and thanklessness sets in. So then we have to be drawn back to the Word, to be reminded of it's not on our effort, but on God's mercy. And realizing that once again, we say thanks to God for this mercy that should not be expected, but has been given to us. And Lord, help me once again live a life of appreciation. That life of appreciation that sticks with the Word. By grace, using it as the guide for my life. It looks like Martin Luther, even though we're a month away yet from celebrating the Reformation, really all year round we should be celebrating the truths of the Reformation. The Reformation's not about Martin Luther. It's about being saved by grace through faith. It's about realizing that just because I have the title Christian doesn't necessarily mean I am a Christian. I need to act the act and walk the walk. Talk the talk, walk the walk, act the act. You got what? Because I messed it up, maybe you'll remember it better. Just like being an Abraham's descendant was not a shoo-in for getting into heaven. So being a Christian is being thankful for God's mercy in your life and showing that you are thankful. God help us do just that. Give thanks then for a healthy attitude which God has made possible in you, because it should not be viewed as something expected from Him. And it should be shown then by how we go about this life, so that others can learn through us and from us of what there is to be thankful for. The mercy of God in their life too. Amen. Please stand.
The peace of God which transcends all understanding,
guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith on the bottom of page 8.
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death.
All this He did, that I should
This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in all good works.
Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
Help us.
Lord, as your prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days praise to you, immortal praise. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Lord, with the death of Hilbert Krisko, we realize that while there is mourning, through Jesus there is also tears of joy for him and what he now has as promised and what we look forward to in good time. While we know death could come at any time for us, young or old, it still hurts when it happens. So thank you for the peace and the hope you alone have given to us, his family and friends. Bless the words we speak in testimony of your grace and hope which sustains us through this life. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Just to help carry that theme of the fact that we are saved by grace, and despite human attempts to do something different from God's plan, a Bible study talking about his hand, God's hand among the nations, how he can even make, again, the human efforts in an attempt to get around God, spoil them and work for his good. So a good reminder of his hand among the nations throughout history, and that continues. To help us spread the gospel message of grace alone through the gift of faith that we are saved, not by our works. We support the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society Mission Box, the rally coming up on the 21st of October in Reading. So those mission boxes are available. If you want to learn more about those, check out the information board. Also there is a sign-up sheet if you're planning to attend the rally in October. You can sign up there, and then people can see who else is going and perhaps carpool to Reading on the 21st. Sunday Fun Day at Rush Park today, an opportunity to promote our school along with our church. And so if you're there at all at Rush Park, check out where our tent will be set up and say hi to the volunteers there. This coming Saturday, from 5 to 7, our cook-off cornhole festivities to welcome people onto our campus, opportunity to invite family and friends to enjoy some of the food and activities and games, as well as get involved in the cornhole tournament yourself. Direct people to our website for more information on that. And then just see the weekly news for the things that are going on this week and in the weeks to come. Have a great day in the Lord, living in his grace, being thankful.